The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Good morning. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it as always. An action-packed 3 hours ahead. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, all good over here, Bunk, on this Tuesday, as we still got reaction to certain things as far as Falcons, dogs, like you were saying, with staking the United. That's funny as hell, though, because I didn't even think about it until he says, yeah, I know Apple TV is picked.
Sure they are.
MLS is picked.
Sure they are.
I mean, yes, they are very upset with the fact that they're cash cow?
Yeah.
Cash cow?
Well, I think he owns part of it, doesn't he? Like, that was part of Messi's contract.
That's part of the contract. So
he's got to do a documentary.
Yeah. Well, he's still going to be making money.
Yeah, man, the documentary, doesn't cost Messi any money.
Yeah, he's still going to be making money.
He'll be okay. But you know what? Don't underestimate the possibility viewership of Atlanta, Orlando.
Right.
You know?
Because it is a rivalry.
Don't discount the enthusiasm of the rivalry between Atlanta and Orlando.
Yeah, it's
all right?
A rivalry.
Well, I think it maybe is now, right? Because we used to beat the hell out of them, and then they beat the hell out of us for a while.
But now we're playing the playoffs.
Yeah, man. And that's how rivalries really build steam, is you play big games against each other. So maybe that'll add another layer to it. But I'll tell you this. I don't have any Apple stock, so deal with it.
Oh, yeah, that's y'all problem.
Deal with it.
I wish I did have some Apple stock.
Who are the Apple people? Steve Jobs? He's dead. But
wish I did.
Deal with it, Steve.
Yeah, wish I did.
I know, wouldn't that be nice?
Hell yeah.
That's always one of those things you go back and it's like, I would have invested this amount of money 20
especially
years
when
ago.
Especially when somebody kind of brings it to you. Like,
oh, you actually had the opportunity.
Yeah, I'm good, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
Dang it. Well, you know what? You're doing fine. Here you are.
Yeah.
Here you are doing some local sports radio.
Yeah. Hell well.
Yeah, well. Could have been Forrest Gump. Instead,
What I mean? I damn sure won't be mowing no lawns. I'll just cut that grass for free. What's wrong with you?
You got time to kill, man.
I would have got me another broad other than
I do agree with that.
That Jenny.
He was very faithful.
Yeah.
She didn't want to settle down with him until all of her other prospects were diminished.
Yeah, man.
She probably had AIDS, right?
Yeah, she ran through. Did we ever? Yeah. We never found out what she had.
No, I think it's just we kind of suspect that's what she had.
Did he had it?
Well, not always. I mean, you got to be careful. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. He didn't get her pregnant.
He did.
So, I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway,
all right.
Choose wisely, fellas.
Man.
Otherwise, you end up with a Jenny situation. I don't know how to transition into anything sports-related. I'm still pretty frustrated about the way that the Falcons lost on Sunday. Like a day removed from it, it's not any better. This is a bad loss.
Yeah.
It's a really bad loss. I don't know. In a season where things are different for sure. The team is better. They just keep kind of checking in with these performances that are like, they're better, but they're not up there. They're still right here.
Mm-hmm.
They're fine, which is too bad because there's obviously there's parts of the team that are significantly better. And when you watch them on a weekly basis, there's things that they do that are really impressive. But then they come out and have performances like that, like they had on Sunday, and remind you that still a ways to go. For this team, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, they just put the NFC side of the bracket. They're the 3 seed right now. If everything stopped there, they'd be the 3rd seed in the NFC. But yeah, I mean, just the frustrating part of just tricking off games that you shouldn't. And I think that was that my biggest takeaway from the weekend is still, you know, the takeaway today. I was fine when I woke up, you know, this morning. Just like as a player, you know, on Tuesday, everything, you remove it and get ready for the next week, because it's not going to get any easier playing against a stout, ferocious defense that the Broncos have, and a very much improving young quarterback that the Broncos had. Should have beat the damn Chiefs last week. But, no, you got to figure out a way, and you know, we can't continuously wait on sacks and everything. If they get them, they get them.
No, they're not going to
get them. Yeah, if they get them, they get them. They don't, it's whatever.
Most likely going to not happen very often.
And so now you got to focus back on the turnovers, trying to get and not giving them explosive plays, even though you gave up one last game between your best three defensive backs. He got behind all three of them and everything like that. Great throw by Derek Carr. But, yeah, continues to get better on offense. They got to find a way to keep Kurt upright. I think that Cam Jordan, it was just one of those things where he wasn't playing a lot, and it was the Falcons, and he got it revved up. I don't think he'll do anything the rest of the season. And so when you look at it from that standpoint, they got the offensive line.
That make it better or worse?
I think it makes it worse.
Probably worse.
Worse. I mean, because this probably is last time playing him.
Probably.
It's probably going to be his last time playing him.
One last rodeo.
Yeah, one last. And he got the last laugh.
He did.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But I think that, you know, the offensive line can continue to protect, and Bijan can continue to stay healthy the way they're using, because his usage rate is going to keep going up. You know, and you think more or less of the handoffs. I mean, he touches the ball a lot, catches everything. So that's a lot of contact on him, and just continue to get your playmakers involved.
Yeah, and look, I don't have I'm not overly worried about that. Like, I think offensively, most weeks they're going to go out there and have good performances. Some weeks they're going to have great performances. Obviously, it's going to depend on the defense that they're playing and all of that. The ceiling just sort of seems to be dictated by the defense,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, again, the offense was pretty good on Sunday. Obviously, they missed a bunch of field goals, which cost them the game. They got off to a slow start as well. They still outgained them. They almost had 500 yards. They ran more plays. They controlled the clock. All the things that we asked them to do early in the season, they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to pay off those drives a little bit more often. And again, like, if the kicker has a normal game on Sunday, then they win that game, and we're reacting to it a little bit differently. The defense also played much better in the second half, too. I mean, they held them to three and outs on five of the six drives that they had, and only 100 yards in the second half. Problem is, they're still not getting to the quarterback. They allowed those big plays. And when you're so reliant on, all right, we're not going to do that, we're not going to affect the quarterback consistently during the game, we're going to have one or two big splash plays from our guys on defense. We're going to come up with big interceptions here, maybe a forced fumble there. Like, when those don't happen,
you're
makes
screwed
for a long day at the office.
It does. And also,
and that's, to me, what, again, gets back to that dictates that ceiling, is the defense is only what? Not, I mean,
they're not even middle of the road.
They're not even middle of the road.
Right.
I mean, they're a bottom 10 defense.
Yeah.
So that makes it really hard to go too far in thinking about what this team's going to be capable of.
You got stale possessions, and they're going to play better offense than they played in New Orleans. Let's call it what it is. I mean, they're going to play better offensive personnel and players.
Oh yes.
Than,
yes,
you know, than what they played in New Orleans. And like you said, they were able to get five or six and all those different things. So you're talking about, what I'm talking, meaning is that they're going to play better teams, that they may not be able to do that because how this defense is and is structured and all those different things, and also the personnel.
It's frustrating to sort of look at it like that and say, yeah, they did do that in the second half. Well, they're playing the same team they played in the first half,
mm-hmm.
and they gave up those explosive plays to a receiver who's never done that kind of stuff before.
Right.
So, like, yeah, I'm glad they got better, but it would have been nice if they didn't start out so terrible
mm-hmm.
also. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, you put yourself so far behind the eight ball that, again, you would have won the game if the kicker would have just had a normal Sunday like he normally has. That's another part of it, is going forward, you better have some more normal Sundays.
Yeah, man.
Otherwise, this conversation ramps up and gets really uncomfortable, because you're going to be in close games. Like,
That's the reality of the league.
There's never been more one-score games through 10 weeks in an NFL season ever.
Yeah.
There's more one-score games this season than there's ever been before, which is great. Like, it makes for really compelling. I don't know that they're all good games, but they're close games.
Right.
Like, what was the 12-7? The Vikings beat the Jags.
Yes.
It's not a good game. It's a close game.
It's a close game.
It's a one-score game. It's not a good game. But anyway, the point is, a lot of these games are being decided by the thinnest of margins. The thinnest of margins come down to kicking.
A lot of times.
Among other things. But, like, there's a pretty good chance. Like, I feel pretty good that this Sunday, when they go to Mile High, This game's gonna come down to one score.
Yes, and this and the thing with that place, it depends on how that wind hits it or whatever. Because I've been in a situation where my first time ever going there, Andy,
I think it was
Elam came down and hit like a 57 yard field goal, and then we had to drive back, and I think Dan Lindo at the buzzer hit like a 56. So that means the ball traveled well.
Yeah, you got the altitude.
Oh yeah, it traveled. He's gonna have opportunities and everything like that. That goes back to a lot of things that we talked about yesterday as far as kickers, the mental aspect of it.
Yeah.
The mental aspect of it. Where is he at mentally right now? Because I said it yesterday, I messaged you want to crush him and everything like that. Don't nobody feel worse than him. I mean, nobody feels worse than Young Wei-Koo. Now, is it all about can you get over that? He's missed kicks before. He missed kicks and caught some games before.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's got to figure out how to get it done, and now he's going to a perfect kicking place. Because you can boom it in Denver.
Unless it's windy. You never know.
You can boom it in Denver.
It can be 50 degrees.
Oh, that's not bad.
Not bad.
That's not bad at all.
Not
bad. Perfect, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. 50 degrees. It was in L.A. The night game was in L.A. last night, and damn, Tua got on a shiesty mask. Like, was it cold in L.A.?
It was also a night game, right?
Yeah.
He also had a lot of eye black on.
I think more than anything, it's more of a stylist thing.
I think it is.
Yeah, it's more a stylist
thing. It looks cool.
Yeah, it's more a stylist thing.
Now, he played pretty good, and they won last night.
More a stylist thing.
Which is good for them. Well, that's what Carson's doing.
No, Carson. Oh, no, I don't doubt that.
I
never said that Carson Beck was wearing all that eye black.
War paint.
He wanted to get the sun out of his eyes. No.
Yeah, this is looking good. He's looking cool. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick the show off on a Tuesday morning. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, Zeno, you identify what happened, right? That was a game of the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? There was a lot of good, right? Particularly from the second quarter on both sides of the ball, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams. And then there was some bad, right? There was the individual things that happened when you get beat on a one-on-one, whether it be a corner getting beat, whether you get beat up front from a guard standpoint or a tackle, whether you get beat on special teams when you're talking about the execution of a field goal. And then there was some ugly, getting a field goal blocked. You know, that's ugly. Not doing the right things when you're supposed to do, you know, getting beat on a quick snap by the Saints for a touchdown, things of that nature. Those things are ugly. Those are the things you want to eliminate. And just go back to normal football where you got a lot of good. There's always going to be bad. That's our game. And then how do you clean those things up and get better and better in order to go out here and get you another win before you bye?
Yeah, that's all in there, certainly. it's hard to, you know, we know this. We do this every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, start getting ready for the next one. Thursday and Friday, you're kind of on to the next one, and it is what it is. But it's a lot harder to focus on the good when the end result is a loss. And it's a lot easier to focus on the bad.
Mm-hmm.
When the end result is a win, right?
Correct.
It's easy, or easier to focus on the bad when the end result is a loss as well. But you feel better about focusing on the bad and nitpicking when the team actually won the game. Yeah, but he's right. I mean, that's all in there. There was some good.
Yeah, Bijan.
Bijan was good. Yep.
Brake fought through the injury.
Yeah. Yep. They played better in the second half defensively.
Okay.
But
snaps were good on the field goal.
Yeah, it's true. I feel like there wasn't a ton of penalties. Like, what, 5 or 6? Something like that. Not bad.
They did what we asked to do as far as time possession and plays.
They did. That was one turnover. Kind of a bad one late, but it is what it is.
He did it, though.
Huh?
The Falcons did. So that's another ugly.
That was bad.
But, yeah, I mean, like, you can't do anything about it now. But just get better. You got to get better from it and try not to let it happen. And you know, so we said it. Sometimes teams lose games to teams they should. It happens every time. We already talked about Baltimore losing to the damn Raiders and the Browns. It's one of those things. It just happens. Now you got to move on from it and – you know, continue to get better and everything because the South is theirs. I just don't think that – I mean, I think Carolina – okay, they won two games, but they should beat the hell out of them.
Yeah.
And then they be in the locker room with the hats and everything like that. But I just – I don't want to think they were looking ahead and like, okay.
No, I don't think
they were. Because I'm like – I don't know too many – I mean, the Broncos are a good team, but they ain't a great team. You know what I mean?
No.
So you're not looking ahead to that.
But they're good enough to give you a real headache.
Oh, no, they're good enough to, and they're good enough to beat the Falcons,
yep, they
too.
Are.
That's the only thing about it is they because are. The way they defense plays and the way Bo Nix is playing, they're well – and the
and
possibility –
they execute a 35-yard field goal on Sunday. They beat the Chiefs.
But the possibility of, you know, you going up there being flat again and all those different things.
Yeah, that's a part of it that intrigues me because I buy that they were flat against Seattle. I don't know why. I don't know how that it happens, I guess. Frustrating that it happens because, you know, there's not that many games. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, they're all important.
Yep.
But I don't think they were flat on Sunday. I think they just played bad.
Yeah. Like, it happened.
I think they just played bad to start the game. Like, I think the Saints did a pretty good job of possessing the ball early. The Falcons' offense wasn't clicking early. I don't think – like, it just looked at, like, flat and sort of sloppy tend to go hand in hand,
a lot of time.
Right? They had three false starts on that first drive against the Seahawks
mm-hmm.
at home
mm-hmm.
in a quiet building.
Mm-hmm.
That's just sloppy and flat.
Right.
Sunday against New Orleans, they seemed ready
it was
to go.
Bad.
They just executed poorly.
It was a bad performance.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes the flat, like we did this a lot with the Nate McMillan, Lloyd Pierce, even last year with the Quinn Snyder Hawks. Like, oh, we just kind of weren't ready to go.
Why?
Like, that's a great question because that doesn't excuse it. If that's true, maybe that's even a bigger issue than if it isn't true.
Yep.
But it also, for whatever reason, is like a real quick like catch-all dismiss. Well, we were just flat.
Yep.
To hell with that. You played bad.
Yep.
You played bad, and you lost to a bad team.
Yeah,
and but, so there you go.
That's sometimes because it's an explanation without giving an explanation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's one of those non-quantifiable explanations.
Yes.
And then it's like, well, why?
Well, yeah.
Why were you flat?
And then a lot of times you don't hear or you don't get the why.
No, you never get the why.
Coach says we were flat. We just said, well, they were just flat.
Well, they were just flat.
Well, why were they flat? I mean, because they were all healthy.
Yeah, it's the healthiest they've been.
You know, you're playing a rivalry game down on the road into a place where, you know, that you got a lot of demons there. They, whatever you want to call it, did some slick blank last year on you. And you know, did you want to get some get back?
I would think.
You would think so.
But – yeah. They didn't.
Because I'm like, it's one thing when you talk about preparing for players. Like, okay, I didn't know Van Dan Scouting, whatever his name was going to go out there and ball. But the thing about it was, it's not the scheme didn't change.
No.
You know, Taysom Hill went playing quarterback, you know. And so that's the most frustrating part to me. Let Chris Olave, who was hurt, let them do those type of things. But when a guy, and I'm not taking that away from him, he's in the league, more power to him, God bless him.
Sure.
But you would like him. But you know what I mean? Like, he was always a third or afterthought receiver, even when he was, like, playing, when I could pronounce his name right. You know what I mean? But this one right here, this guy here, and he's the only one that did anything the whole game offensively.
That's true.
He's the only player that did something for this team offensively, and he did just –
he did it all in three catches.
Yes, and it was just enough. That's the crazy thing about it. It was just enough
for
him to win a game.
He had three big plays, and Ku missed three field goals. And that was it.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's pretty much what you did.
Pretty much what it was.
Yeah.
Only offensive player to really do something was him.
Well, what do they got this week? Cortland Sutton's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Cortland Sutton's pretty good.
Adam Troutman's pretty good tight end.
Yes, he is. Are they running the ball well with Williams this year?
No.
Not really. Okay.
Not really. What'd you say, Bo? I can't read lips that good.
He is slowly losing his job to Audric Estime.
Okay.
Yeah, he's slowly tanking our fantasy football team,
oh, really?
Too.
He's a six-rounder, though.
I know. I love him so much. I loved him so much coming out of North Carolina.
Yeah, that ACL, man.
Yeah,
he was
hurt.
So good. Yeah. He was really good before he got hurt. He was coming along before
he got
hurt.
Yeah, no, the depth chart I'm looking at right now has Audric Estime as their number one guy.
Okay. And then, I mean, I think, you know, Sean Payton understanding how to use this young quarterback. Because I think at the beginning of the year, he was still trying to figure out how the hell can I do, what can I do to simplify these things for this young player so we can get the best out of him, knowing that I got a defense that can probably keep us in games. I mean, yeah. I think that's the one.
They got a rough defense.
And then they learned all of how to do that. And I never thought that their defense was going to be this good coming this year.
Well, they lost so many
guys
over the last couple of years. So many good players.
I was like, no, they're not going to be that good this year. I mean, they had Lil Pat. Mm-hmm. And that's all I – but, no, they're playing pretty good on that side of football. They're one of the better rush teams, you know, as far as pass rush, pure pass rush, getting out the quarterback and ball, man. So, I mean, they're going to have their work cut out for them. Five guys better get right.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, I absolutely think the Falcons can go out there and win the game.
Yes.
But I think it's going to be a – it's going to be a slog, man. These guys play tough. You saw what they did against Kansas City on Sunday. Should have had that one and didn't. Here's Kirby Smart talking about Carson Beck.
I thought Carson played good, guys. He played good. I mean, some of those penalties aren't on him, you know, and some are. He had a couple snafus, too, where he maybe didn't motion a guy or didn't shift somebody in as part of the adjustment, and he knows that. But we put a lot on him, and he's playing on the road with crowd noise. But he stands in that pocket and converted some third downs and made some really nice plays. And I thought he threw the ball away a couple times tonight. It was really good. So I'm not here to be critical of him.
We will. We'll all be critical of his name, Kirby.
We're just here to be honest.
I thought about this. This morning, Bob. I was like, "Has there?" And I'm sure there is, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. A quarterback that has regressed this much year to year on a team the caliber of Georgia. I can't think. I thought Matt Barkley maybe.
Oh, like in history. Yeah. I thought you meant this year. There's been a few in history, but like. I was like this year, like at times, Milroe.
Okay.
Milroe, when Milroe doesn't run it, and I don't know if that's because he's banged up and is protecting himself,
right.
Or sometimes it's that, hey, I've got to impress the NFL scouts
right.
and show what I can do. When Milroe runs it, Alabama's offense is legit.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can, obviously, Georgia saw it.
It's not like he only runs in big games.
I know.
Yeah.
And maybe this is a protection thing. Yeah. I don't know. But, like, he needs to run for them to win.
Right.
So there's been moments where he's regressed quite a bit from where he looked at the end of the year last year.
But look as bad as Carson. Because Carson looked bad.
No.
Carson has looked really, really bad. And I think that, you know. And
trying to think of guys who's like were projected as top 10 picks coming into a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then by middle, end of the year, is like, well, no, not that anymore. Mm-mm. Like, we're not doing that.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, they're not playing good around. They're not protecting them well. And we talked yesterday about maybe that's hamstrings his offense a lot because of the offensive line is not what I thought it was going to be. And I'm not surprised that the receivers are where they are going to be because I never thought that you were telling me that Aaron Smith is going to be your number one receiver. And then, you know, you get to a point where every time it seems like Lovett makes a play, you take him out the damn game or something like that. And then you got these guys, these transfers coming in that are dropping the ball. So, I mean, Georgia has an offense problem, but it's led by their quarterback, you know.
And their offensive line.
This is the biggest problem with Georgia so far this season. And you would think, you know, okay, Kentucky's had a great game plan. No, Kentucky's defensive line won the game. They were winning. They were winning up front.
Yeah, that was the first time this year where we saw the Georgia offensive line really look bad.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, boy. Okay. And then, you know, looking for explanations, clearly these five guys can't be that bad.
Yeah.
The center's hurt. Ratledge is hurt. They're having communication problems. That's the issue. Well, they got all the guys back now for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the worst performance they've had.
Yep,
now, I know that's the best front they've played against in Ole Miss. But, I mean, you know.
And they got another good one coming in.
You're not gonna beat good teams with that performance.
And they got another good one. They got another good one coming in.
Yeah, and now the reality is if you play like that and you lose, then you're pretty much out of the playoffs.
Oh, you're going home.
Like more than likely.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, and I don't have to do this now, wait till Georgia if they get there, but like there's a chance that somebody gets in from this conference with three losses.
You think
like,
so?
Yeah.
Because
like Georgia has the hardest schedule in the country.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be teams from other conferences. I was looking at, I think that the Big Ten has four teams right now that have pretty strong arguments and probably could all make it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the ACC, come on. Like the ACC?
Yeah.
Like, the Big 12?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Georgia has a better win than anybody in any of those conferences is going to have.
That's true.
All year. They went into Texas and got that win. So, again, like, just win the game. You don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be, even if they do lose to Tennessee, because they're going to beat UMass. But Georgia Tech's pretty good, so
right.
I don't know. We'll see when we get there. But like, there, if that does happen, there will be debates.
I mean, I'm not saying I don't. It's not that I'm not thinking there will be a debate. I'm just like, I don't know. Because I think the college football playoff rankings come out tonight. I think Georgia will be probably 11. I think they'll be behind Ole Miss.
Yeah.
They'll be behind Bama. Definitely be behind Tennessee. Be behind Texas.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I could see them somewhere in the 11 area right there. But again, I tweeted after the game. If they beat Tennessee, they're in. If they beat Tennessee, they're in because they're going to beat UMass and they're going to beat Georgia Tech. So they'll be in and everything like that. And we'll figure out the seeding and where you got to go and things like that. But, yeah, I mean, they got to get this thing repaired. And you got 4 days to do it. You know, that's the thing about it, Bunk. You got no offseason. You ain't got no bye week to work it out and fix the kinks. You got 4 days to get it right.
To play against another
really good damn football team.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's not my job. I don't think I'd be very good at it. Here's the where I'd start. I would look at that one clip we talked about yesterday where everybody missed their blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, all right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to block these guys.
Yeah, how about that? This is make it simple.
Get hands on them.
Make it simple. Like, I would cut that. I would like, blow up that pitcher and put it all over the damn locker room.
Yeah. Like, that's embarrassing for every single one of those five guys.
All of y'all. But it's so crazy because Ben Watson just texted me the picture. Like, what?
That picture?
Yes. He just texted me the picture. Like, what the hell?
What are they doing?
What are they doing?
I don't know. That was crazy. And that wasn't the only one. There was multiple plays like that. All right. Mike Conte is going to join us next. What a what an incredible, incredible performance from Atlanta United on Saturday night. We'll get his thoughts being there for that one. Obviously, the Hawks have a game tonight. It's the NBA Cup starts tonight, Randy.
Woo!
Catch the fever. Hawks Celtics. It's going to happen. Mike Conte will join us next.
I'm still confused by it, though, yeah.
No, they play, and then somebody wins a cup in the middle, and then they go.
So are they eliminated when they lose tonight?
No. No.
Oh, okay.
Nope. All right, maybe Mike knows. We'll ask him about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on Tuesday morning. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. We'll get back into the final game of Week 10 last night. Dolphins look pretty good. I mean, they don't look great, but they look pretty good.
Rams are awful.
Rams are really bad. Really bad. Anyway. Week 10's in the books. We'll start looking ahead to this weekend as well. Some of the other news. Guys are getting fired and demoted and all kinds of stuff.
They didn't get demoted, and they fired him.
Yeah.
He didn't get demoted.
Things are pretty bad in Chicago, man.
He demoted.
I got a Caleb Williams stat that's going to knock your socks. Are you wearing socks?
You know I don't wear damn socks.
I got a Caleb Williams stat that's going to knock your hat off.
All right.
When we get to that segment in 20 minutes. But before we do that, let's get Mike Conte in here. Mike Conte, what a Saturday. What an incredible Saturday night.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. This has been such a fun ride to be on, and it's cool that it continues now for another 2 weeks. But I put that right up there very close to winning an MLS Cup as far as overall achievements by the club. Because when you do it in a best of three, it's not just a one-off. When you do it in a best of three, and when you do it when Messi is scoring and Suarez is scoring and playing well and Jordi Alba is scoring and playing well and all of that, it's not a fluke. That's the thing. Like, this was not a fluke at all. And what was really encouraging to me, from game one to game three, Atlanta United got better as the series went along. So really, really cool. Very special. It's fun to see. I think the city is kind of reawakening a little bit to Atlanta United, and that's, look, I mean, 4 or 5 months ago, it was a little bleak.
I mean, a little bleak four or five weeks ago. You know, I mean, they're fighting for their lives just to get into the playoffs.
Well, they've what was the stat I had? Four times in the last 3 weeks, they've played a game that they had to win to keep their season going, and they won all four, three of them on the road. So, but I'm just talking about just the overall vibe of the fans towards the team. I mean, late summer, early fall was rough. It wasn't pretty. Yeah. And now you're starting to get some 2018 vibes. And that's the beauty of sports, because I would not have predicted that. I don't think you guys would have predicted that. And yet here we are. So let's keep enjoying it, right?
You think this layoff will hurt? I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I do, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it. I think he got momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everyone else is dealing with it, too.
Right.
And Orlando's got three really key players who are also on international break right now. Atlanta has six.
Mm-hmm.
But this is – every team's got to deal with it. I would have really preferred to play Orlando this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're just – you are – sky high right now and confident and locked in. I'm telling you guys, when I got on that plane with them on Friday to go down to Fort Lauderdale, that was a team that looked so locked in. I never thought at any point in that game on Saturday they were going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how good I felt about the body language and how mentally they seemed to be going down to Fort Lauderdale. I really would have preferred to play Orlando this weekend, but hey, this is what the league gets you, and Orlando's dealing with the same thing. It does remind me a little bit of the 2022 season where Atlanta United had a couple really good performances in a row. They had a great draw against Philadelphia. It looked like they were about to save their season. Then they had an international break, and all the momentum was gone. They went to New England and got killed, and that was it. I hope that's not the case this time. But, yeah, I don't like it, Randy, to your point. I want to play now.
When Brad Guzan got shoved into the net after they scored their second goal, who was closer to jumping out of the press box, you or Jason?
Oh, Jason.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear the call? I mean, Jason was living.
I think we were all working. I was furious.
It was so cheap.
And it was crazy because it was him. It was like anybody else, I would have been mad because it was him.
Yeah.
I don't like that guy.
Oh, yeah, Suarez?
Yeah.
Suarez should have been sent off was Campana.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was tantamount to a sucker punch, really.
Just flat out shoved him.
So, like, and look, I get it. You know, the little guy's going to get certain protections, and his teammates are going to feel a certain kind of way. He scores. The goalkeeper and the little guy are both reaching for the ball at the same time because the little guy wants to run it back to center spot and kick it off. Cool. John Boy actually did a really good breakdown of this. Did you see this? You've made it when John Boy is picking this play apart now. So, yeah, I mean, I guess Brad and the little guy collide a little bit when they're both going for the ball. For Campana to race in there and essentially sucker punch Brad, and then for, you're right, Suarez, who was a complete jerk the entire series.
Dude, that guy whines incessantly.
And dives relentlessly.
And he's a big-ass dude. Like, he has no reason to be flopping around like that.
Well, it's like I said during the broadcast on Saturday, it's so disrespectful to the game when you go out and you dive like that. The one thing, though, you can say about Suarez is it's not the most disrespectful thing he has ever done to the game.
Oh, no.
Because
no,
he has literally bit players
bit
multiple times in the World Cup.
Yeah, he bit some people,
So, I mean, on the Suarez level of atrocities, this was
pretty low.
But Campana should have been sent off, and that would have been a huge call because Atlanta won the game anyway. But you would have been playing 11-10. You might have won the game 4-2 or 5-2 as opposed to having to see it out the way it did. But, hey, ball don't lie.
Nope.
And, you know, Jason, I agree with the comment he made during the second half. It became very apparent that calls were just not going to be made in your favor in the second half of the game, so you're going to have to overcome that. And they did. They overcame everything that Miami threw at them and all the external factors that were thrown at them. They overcame, and they did it. And it's just... it's such a huge accomplishment for this team. I think it's more difficult than any of the trophies they won in 2019. I put it right up there with maybe just below winning the cup in 2018.
Mike, what did you take away from the from Garth today on with the steakhouse?
Yeah, that was a fascinating interview.
Right.
Couple things. What I was really listening most for was there any kind of information that would give you a hint on where Rob stands right now? Because I'm getting that question a lot.
Sure.
Like, has Rob won the job now because they took out Messi? And based on that Garth Lagerwey interview, it sounds to me that the answer is not yet. That they're still going through the process. Garth did confirm he had a conversation with Rob about it yesterday. But they're still going through the process. And Rob said the further this goes, the better the chance. So, to me... that is not a confirmation that Rob Valentino has the job yet. And that's what I was most listening for. The other stuff about, they knew that they didn't have a team that could win anything with the personalities that they had in the locker room at the beginning of the year. You can probably pick that apart and figure that out pretty easily on who he may have been referring to. Because there was an unexpected departure. Around Memorial Day-ish, there's an unexpected departure that really derailed things for months for this team. And, in fact, they still haven't really replaced that unexpected departure. I mean, TRA did a great job on Saturday, and Daniel Rios has played above the expectation for him. So they've been able to plot on. But I don't think it's too difficult to to peel that apart and figure out who Garth may or may not have been talking about.
No, I don't think so. Plus, also, I mean, look, they did what they did, and then they also made changes in the front office, so and the coaching staff. So, like, he was unhappy with the direction of things.
I do want to point out one thing, though. Like, the players who have really helped Atlanta United in this playoff, Pedro Amador, I think, has been their
incredible
next to Guzan.
Yeah.
Pedro Amador has been their best outfield player. That's a Carlos Bocanegra signing.
Sure.
Just saying. Derek Williams, who I think has been brilliant all year. That was a Carlos signing. Maranchuk, Carlos signing. So they haven't done anything since making the front office change. I want to make sure that Carlos gets the credit that I think he should get for that. Did he make some incorrect moves? Yeah, sure, absolutely. I mean, we talked about that when he was let go. Like, no one bats 1,000. He certainly did not. But I think it would be unfair to say, oh, yeah, you made all these changes after you changed the front office, when in reality, that's not really the case. The change came after they made those signings.
NBA Cup starts tonight.
Man, I am
so pumped
up. For many
various teams, including the Atlanta Hawks.
You know, this is how you know Trey must be really, really in pain. Really, really in pain. Because, I mean, if you're unable to get up and play in an NBA Cup
against the defending champions.
Well, forget that. It's the Cup.
They're not the defending Cup champions. That's the Lakers.
Yeah. Thank you. You know? I mean, it's one thing to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy. That's an achievement. But you're talking about the magic of the Cup. And
Who's this Cup named after? Do we know?
Emirates Airlines.
Okay.
Yeah. Emirates NBA Cup.
Got it. Okay.
I'm not joking.
I
don't think you're joking.
Yeah, no, I know.
No, it's literally the Emirates NBA Cup. I don't know.
Where's that money come from?
You know what? Here's what I'll say. And the Hawks are facing a very uphill battle tonight against the Celtics team that you're not going to have Trey or really any of the guys have been out for a while. So this is going to be really, really tough. By the way, who starts at point guard tonight? Like, what do you do there?
Me, I think. I think you put me out there. I'm flying up.
I don't know. Is it Keaton Wallace?
Yeah.
I really don't know what you do. Boy, that's a problem for Quinn Snyder to solve. But I will say this in general about the Cup. I've been a little bit tongue-in-cheek. But in reality, the players did talk last year about how there was a palpable change in intensity for these games. And the players really did enjoy playing for that trophy, playing for the chance to go to Vegas, playing for the money. So I do expect these next Tuesday, Friday games for the next couple weeks, you're going to feel it. And you play on the special courts and you wear the fun uniforms and everything. So it'll be a little bit different, honestly, in a time right now where this early part of the NBA season has been completely, completely vanished in the mix of pro football and college football and everything. And a Yankees-Dodgers World Series. Like, the NBA has had a very, in my opinion, slow start.
The numbers show, too.
It's too bad because a lot of really interesting stuff going on. Like, a lot of really fascinating teams.
Well, I'll tell you this. When the national media decided that Bronny was going to be the big week one storyline, I think they ran a lot of casual fans away.
I agree.
Yeah.
I guess hold on to Christmas and we'll all get excited again. But we'll see what the NBA Cup does.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, guys.
We appreciate it. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.